Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this, the fifth Sunday after Pentecost, is taken from the book of Romans, the sixth chapter, and we will read verses 12 through the end of that chapter, verse 23. It's Romans 6, 12 through 23, where we read in the name of our Lord. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God, as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness in the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us pray. Most gracious and almighty God, once again we look to you, Father, acknowledging your goodness and knowing full well that by your grace and your mercy, you have raised us to new life. We pray, Father, that you would grant us through your word to have our focus on the newness of that life. And so entrust ourselves to you with the full hope of knowing that we are found in the image of your Son. Sanctify us in the truth. Your word is truth. For Jesus' name's sake, amen. This is where we come to the point of understanding what Paul has been talking about. We kind of covered this in Romans 5, also in the earlier part of Romans 6, to realize that this is the outcome of the work of Jesus Christ. And this is really the significant point, is the outcome. Very often, in our way of thinking, we look still at the process. And on dwelling on the process, we lose the whole sense of the outcome. It's the outcome that's really the key. The process is complete. Jesus Christ finished the work. When he finished the work is done. You don't keep doing something that's done. That's crazy. You don't rebuild a car engine and then turn around and say, well, I'm just going to keep going. You don't do that sort of thing because it's done. Now, when you're a mother or a father or things like that, you like to keep tweaking them kids. But you do realize that the great bulk of what your children are going to be is already fixed by the age of 7. You see, what we need to understand is it's not the process, it's the outcome. It's to focus on what's done. It's to constantly build. It's constantly understanding constantly edifying. It's constantly coming to this point of dealing with what's done. That's why St. Peter says that. I love that. I quote it all the time. I'm over 65. I don't care what you think. I'm allowed to do that stuff. So you quote it all the time. Same old thing. St. Peter says very clearly, he says, if you're still dwelling on your old sins, he says, you've forgotten that you have been cleansed from those things. He says, you've forgotten that you have been cleansed by those things. And so he says, until the day that I die, he says, I'm going to die soon. And until the day I die, I am going to remind you of that. I'm going to remind you of that. You have been cleansed from your old sins. So get over it. This is the point, is to understand the outcome. God in Jesus Christ has forgiven you all of your sins. And that includes the ones you haven't even committed yet. He has taken away every sin. And he has cleansed us in his blood. So that when he looks upon us, he does not see any fault. He sees only the glorious righteousness of the children of God. And this is what Paul is talking about. Now, I want you to understand how we murder this text. It happens all the time when preachers do this. They murder this text. Because they get down to the last verse, and I've heard people say this many times. They'll turn around and they say, for the wages of sin. Well, you know the wages of sin is death. It's like, well, duh. You know, I'm pretty sure that's what it said. But does it mean what you're saying it said? Not a chance. Because what he said is, what you once were, he says, that was worthy of death. He says, but now you've been made free from sin. Now you've been made free from sin, and you are now slaves to God. And he says, because you're slaves to God, he says, what comes forth from you now is holy. And it's good. And it's sound fruit. And he says, and the end of that, the outcome of it, is everlasting life. He says, because in the old thing, the wages of sin was death. The earnings that came from sin was death. He says, but now, he says, you have the gift of God for eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So next time somebody turns around and they does that wonderful thing of quoting scripture out of context, just finish the verse for them. Well, you know the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Because it's the outcome that's the key. And that's the whole point. That's the whole point. On this weekend, we emphasize freedom. And that's a marvelous thing. Probably all of us have relatives that have paid the last full measure to gain that freedom and to keep it. We are fools if we forget. We're fools. Because their outcome, what they did, is so incredibly significant in the sense of freedom. And it's important to understand that. It's important to have a day like Independence Day. That's why we call it Independence Day, because we declared independence. Jesus gave us independence. He made us free. That we could be free indeed, as he says. That we would live free. That we would live in the fullness of understanding. All of our sin, everything that Paul talks about here, all this old stuff, that all of that would be gone. He says that now we wouldn't live under that anymore. Why would we live under that? He says, don't you understand? He says that now we're not under the law anymore. We're not under the law to live according to sin. Now we're under grace. And that's how we ought to live. The greatest thing that we do in service of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is live free. We take him seriously at what he says. We understand the nature of his death and his suffering, but we don't wallow in his death and his suffering. We understand the power of his resurrection. And we realize the declaration of his forgiveness, that we are forgiven. Because that's the outcome. We are forgiven. We don't come to church to feel bad for sins and get our spanking. You know, we get our weekly spanking. Preacher lets us have it. Then we can go home and sin some more for 6 more days. Jeez, is that ever stupid? That'd be a stupid way to live. We come to church not because we have to, but because we're free. We're free. We're free. We're free to do it. We are free. We are free to hear the gospel. We are free to hear it repeated over and over again. Your sins are forgiven in the name and blood of Jesus. You have the peace of your Lord. You're free to hear that every day of your mortal life. You are free to hear that, because when you get on the other side of the mortal life, you won't need to hear it anymore, because it's going to be set and it will be absolutely the case. You will live, and you will live free forever. And you don't have to be a resident of New Hampshire to do that. And if you know New Hampshire's license plate, you know what I'm talking about. This is where you come to the point of understanding. You are free. Now, one of my favorite things, Jean-Paul Sartre, and I know you probably don't read atheists and stuff like that. I do, because I think they're hilarious. Jean-Paul Sartre, when he talks about this, he talks about realizing freedom. He said, I realized that I was free. Now, this is the end of existential philosophy. And he says, and I came to realize, free for what? He had rejected God. He had rejected all of these things. And he said very simply, free for what? He said, all that's going to happen is I'm going to die, and my bones will go into the grave, and mold, that's it. Free for what? Boy, there's a happy life. That's a happy fellow right there. You are free. Free for what? You are free to be part of the kingdom of God. You are free. You are free to live forever. You are free to be in peace. You are free to know the fullness of the salvation of your God. You are free to come here for his sacrament and realize very clearly he will feed you freely. He will strengthen you. He will enable you. He will keep you. You are free to know that his Holy Spirit indwells you and you have life forever because you can never be separated from the love of your living God. You are free to understand to come here and go to church and you can still go home and be happy because I ain't gonna beat you up. Because the fact of the matter is that you are a glory of God. You are the image of his own beloved Son. You have been raised to newness of life, and you have peace forever. And doggone it all, if you don't get that, then I feel bad for you. Because you missed the whole point. The whole point is to be free. It's to be free. Be free. We dishonor those people who gave up their lives if we don't live free. If we place ourselves in bondage again, we dishonor them. And we dishonor our Lord Jesus Christ if we don't understand the fullness of that sacrifice. And we don't wake up every morning and realize the mercies of the Lord are new every day. And then we go on living and we live at peace and in the fullness of his salvation. And we have this tricky little thing that's just so hard for church people. And that's joy. Have joy. We have joy. It's a great name, isn't it? We have joy. We have joy. We live joyous. We live rejoicing. We live full of the finished work of Jesus Christ. And nothing can ever take away that joy from us. Because we are the beloved offspring of the Most High God, who loves us so greatly that he gave us his only begotten Son, that through him we would live and we would know peace forever. It's a great weekend. And just enjoy the living daylights out of it. It's a great time. For Jesus' sake, amen. Let us pray. Most gracious and almighty God, there is no one like you, not even close. We can't even approximate how good and how gracious you really are. But Father, what we can do is by your Holy Spirit, we can be brought to the fullness of that knowledge, and we can find that peace through your word of knowing that even what we can't fully believe, you have worked and done to completion in your Son, Jesus our Lord. We pray, Father, even now, as we celebrate your Holy Supper, that, Father, you would remind us this is a gift of grace. It's free. Because the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Glorify your name, Father. For Jesus' name's sake, amen.